want to check it?
Yeah. Looks like it's working.
It's working now?
Well, say something.
What do you want me to
Anything.
Say?
Anything. Just...
There's going to be a bad storm moving in tomorrow.
Yeah, there we go. We got little lines. That's what those little lines mean. Okay, I think you want to start that, baby, and get my feet here. Okay, what we're going to start with is... maybe I should check my volume. I don't know if I did it. It did work. Okay. We're interviewing Tammy Dupree today on January 28, 2010. What is making a noise? Is that the computer? Do you hear that?
And I just thought it was the computer.
I hope it's not coming up on the tape. Let's see. We're at the Kinsley Library, and the interviewers are Rosetta Graff and Joan Weaver. And I think that's all we say. Okay, Kenny, can you tell us what your full name is?
Kenneth Eugene Dupree.
And where do you currently reside?
217 West 6th Street, Kinsley, Kansas.
And when and where were you born?
I was born on 5th of March, 1926, in Kinsley, Kansas.
What were the names of your parents?
John Dupree and Clara Mae Dupree.
And Clara's maiden name was?
Taylor.
Taylor. And do you know the names of your grandparents?
I got
Grandma
it at home.
Grandma and Grandpa, I know.
I never had seen them in my life.
Oh, okay.
So I got it at home, mm-hmm. but I can't tell you his first name.
Okay.
He's from Missouri, but I can get it for you.
What brought, this is the Dupree grandfather you're thinking of?
He's from Missouri.
What brought him to Edwards County?
My dad.
Well, whoever came.
In the Oklahoma land rush, his folks left him in Missouri, and they took a quarter in Oklahoma land rush. So when my dad got a service, they both died, and he thought, well, he's going to come out and homestead that and live on it. So my mother and him came out here. But the land had been sold for taxes because they didn't notify him. So then he took a covered wagon, came to Lewis, Kansas, and started working for Jeffries in Centerview. Then he moved on to Kinsley and went to work.
Well, he said he got out of the service. Was that World War One?
That's when my dad was in.
Yeah.
World War One. Yes.
World War One.
Uh-huh.
And your mother's family?
My mother... family is from Virginia, and when they got married, that's when they left for the country.
In your household, were you an only child, or did you have brothers or sisters?
No, I had two brothers and a sister, Arthur Dupree and Elmer Dupree and Margaret Dupree.
Where were you in the birth order? Were you oldest or youngest?
I was the third one.
Third one.
Okay. Yeah.
What was it like growing up in your household?
It was awful poor, I'll tell you. It was poor. It was in the 30s when I grew up. You want to know about the 30s?
Yes, we want to know about the
30s. Well, I'll tell you something. When we was a kid, the only thing we had for toys, you ever heard play kick the can?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we played kick the can and hide and go seek, mm-hmm. and we walked stilts. Mm-hmm. That's a fast art anymore, but we got to all of us walk stilts. And we played swords. We'd make a sword with sword fight, have sword fights, and we'd make wooden guns. We'd go down to Jack Molitor service station, get an old inner tube, and we'd cut strips about this wide and put a clothespin around them, and put an inner tube around real tight. And when we pushed that clothespin, we'd shoot a rubber band. That's how we, that was our guns, because we couldn't buy any. It was too poor.
Now, at this time, are you living in Kinsley? Or?
I was living in West 3rd Street.
Okay.
Yes.
And what was your dad doing?
He was working on WPA.
Mm-hmm. What did he do for WPA?
Before that?
Before
that, he worked for the city of Kinsley, but politics changed back in them days, and he lost his job. The only thing then was in Depression, yet he had horses. So he went to WPA, and he made 18 cents an hour. But he'd get a dollar a day for his horses because he had slips, and that slipped the dirt out of ditches when he went out to work up north.
Okay. So he was building roads for the WPA?
He had horses. Now, three or four farmer people in town had horses. Warren Jarvis and Chris Franklin, my dad. So they paid him $1 a day for the horses. He worked on the relief for 6 or 8 years, and then he went into soil conservation, and he'd go out and plant trees on farms, and then they'd come back and hoe. And he worked that 3 or 4 years. Then he started working other places. That was.
You probably don't know, but do you know about how much he got paid or whatever?
My dad, yeah. He got 18 cents an hour.
18 cents an hour on the WPA.
Yes. And then when he went to soil conservation, he got up to 20 cents an hour.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He had a family with 3 children.
Had a family of 4 children.
Four children.
Four children.
Yeah.
It was tough. It was hard.
Did you own the house?
It was a shack. Tar paper on the outside edge, and we didn't have no electricity, didn't have no gas. We had a wood stove. You heated the wood stove when you went out at night. Your house was cold till the next morning. We never had no lights in the house. About 1938, a man named Peterson wired the house. That's the only lights. You went to the restroom, you walked about a block out in the woods. That was the restroom. I'll never forget it. It was tough.
Didn't have an outhouse?
We had an outhouse, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
but we had our own cow for milk, and we had our own chickens, and we had hogs. So we had eggs and milk and cream. We'd take the cream, which Mom would separate from it, take it to Al and all. Back in them days, everyone sold their cream at the creamery. And even the farmers brought their cream in.
Did you have water in the house?
Later on, we put a pitcher pump in the house. Because you go down 8 foot and get water. That's the only pump water we had in the house. Never did have running water in that house.
How many bedrooms or rooms in the
two.
House?
And it was so cold in the wintertime. I'd go to bed and Mom would heat up 4x8 bricks. And she'd wrap them up in a towel and bring them into him. And that's how he kept warm. When the bricks got cooled off, he was already warm in the bed. You'd last till next morning. It was tough. I'll never forget it. It would grow. In the 30s, I remember the dust bowls coming in. And it would come in so black you could not see. Mom would cover us up with sheets and put us to bed. And when that dust storm get over, them sheets would be clear and muddy. That's how we survived the dust storm.
Well, that sort of filtered the air through your lungs.
Yes. That filter the air to your lungs. But then along about 37 or 38, we had grasshopper plague. The grasshoppers come in by the billions, and they ate every ounce of limbs off the trees, all the grass off the ditches. There was no weeds in the ditches. They ate it all. And it took 2 years. The bindweed shop used to mix up poison and put it out, but that waste of time. But that went on for about 2 years, grasshoppers. And then along that time, the farmers all grew turkeys. And they fed on these grasshoppers and whatever else they ate. And then there was two turkey pools in town, Bear's Produce and the one right down next to Fardell's building. Not Fardell, but Fravel. And that's where they picked turkeys. But every farmer had turkeys. I always remember that.
So when they would come through, you would lose your garden?
Oh, yes. You lost everything that was green. Mm-hmm. All the leaves off the trees was gone. All the gardens was gone. The roadside ditches was clean.
What time of year did the grasshoppers come through?
In the summer.
Something like July or whatever?
Yeah, July and August. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was bad. But...
Well, I take it your house wasn't very tight with the dust storms either.
No one's house was back in them days. Then we had jackrabbits. Had jackrabbits by the million. I went to one jackrabbit.
Was that because they had eradicated the coyotes? Or?
Yeah, but they paid $1 a piece for coyote ears at the courthouse.
Uh-huh.
But the jackrabbits got so thick, they had jackrabbit drives. About every 10 foot, the person went around the 3 or 4 sections, drove them into a fence. And then they sold them, but they get rid of them.
And then Now, did you eat jackrabbit too at that time?
I ate cottontail. You ate lots of them. I ate young jacks. Mm-hmm. Sure. Everyone did.
Now, were you involved in those, or were you too young to be on?
No, I went on jackrabbit drive. I went up St. Peter and Paul on one.
And did they kill them by hitting them? Or?
Sure. Knock them in the head. Mm-hmm. Any way to kill them. It was quite a sight.
Was it treated? We've never asked this question, but was it treated like a festival at all? I mean, was it, or you just?
Oh, just a big get together.
Did you have a dinner
everyone
at the end?
No, didn't have no dinner at the end. But everyone from town come out, and farmers all come out, and we have to get rid of the rabbits. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never will forget that.
Well, we have some pictures of that here at the library.
Oh yeah,
that show all the rabbits.
There was no crops for 9 years. My brother-in-law farmed out north of town. He lost his crop for 9 straight years. Then in 40, he had a good crop. He only got about 18 cents a bushel for it. But that's when it started coming out. Mm-hmm. Started getting rains. And
mm-hmm. Now, did you know people who did not move away, that did not survive and didn't stay in this
lots
area?
Of them. Lots of them. I even know the person that got killed. Frank Minoski had a boy who got killed in the dust storm because he choked to death.
Now, how do you know how to spell that name?
Bernofsky?
Okay.
Yeah.
Frank's
boy.
Go ahead and spell it, Rosetta, for the transcriber. You know? Oh, never mind. Okay, we'll get that.
I think I know. But
I call it Bernatsky. That's easier to write it down. Bernofsky was it.
So they call it, what do they call that? Dust? Dust pneumonia.
Yeah, that's what it was. Just choked to death. During relief times, it's so hard. My dad worked on relief, but they had CC camps. Mm-hmm. And they sent the young boys to CC camps, and you sent half the money home. So my brothers wasn't old for CCs, but they got NYA, National Youth Association. You've heard of it?
No, I haven't heard of that one.
The National Youth Association. And they got 10 cents an hour. And they go to projects down here at the school, and they bring in great big old bricks from Hodgman County, and they'd have stones, and they'd square them up. That's how that pink building in the park got built, through NYA labor clean bricks.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. And they're still
so
them
they
bricks.
Were used,
they were
used
new, but they had
new,
to be trimmed up square. But the bricks still sets out here at Coover's. There's a lot of them in a row out there. That's my brother's worked on them. Mm-hmm. That's how they got money for young people under 18.
Did they square them up by somehow?
Oh, there was a square tool. They squared them up and hit that old brick, cleaned them up. There's a lot of bricks made on bridges around here and during the relief time. But anything the NYA boys could do, that's what they did.
What age were NYA boys?
Oh, I'd say from 16 to 18. Mm-hmm. After that, you went into the CCs. Yeah. But my brother-in-law went into CCs. And
what were they doing around here?
He worked on lakes. He worked on lakes all the time. I had two brother-in-laws that worked on lakes. They sent half the money home for their families.
So they left Edwards County?
Well, yeah, they had to leave out the camp. There was a lot of camps. They my brother-in-law worked up Fort Meade, that Meade big lake. Mm-hmm. Mostly lakes and stuff, and trees and planting. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Then, when I come home from overseas, you couldn't find a good job. Have you ever heard of the 5220 Club? Well, for 52 weeks, you get $20 a week. That was an Army deal. I signed up for it, but I got a job. I never did use it. I got a job on the county.
Okay. Well,
so
we'll come back to that here.
You never heard of the 5220 Club?
Yeah, that hasn't come up yet. But maybe most of the guys got jobs like you did.
Yeah. I got a job. I didn't use it, but I signed up for it. Had to go up to the courthouse and sign up for it.
Anything else you want to know about that Depression Dust Bowl time?
When I went to school, I had two pair of pants. One I wore, and one Mom was washing. Mm-hmm. And when she washed, it had a great big old tub of, or the barrel. And the boys would have to go out and heat the water underneath to the barrel, and we had, had an old wash machine, started an old gasoline motor on it. And they'd have to go out and heat that water and carry it into the wash machine about, 100 yards. And that's how she washed.
The washing machine was actually like on the porch or something of the house?
It was in a, it's an old shed out there back of the house.
A wash shed.
Old Maytag washer. It had a motor on it. I never forget that.
Well, one, we were doing a lot of interviewing around Christmas. We asked that. What was Christmas like in your
poor house? Was poor. I tell you, Christmas so bad, we never had presents. We just didn't have presents. If they asked me at school, what did you get for Christmas, I had to lie because I was ashamed of it. But we were so poor, we didn't have Christmas. I don't ever remember Christmas in my house.
Did you have anything special to eat for Christmas?
Chicken or goose or something.
Something that you raised.
yeah, we raised it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was poor. It was hard. No one had work. We was all alike. If they want to tell you the truth, we was all alike. Your mother can tell you. She can tell you all about it. It was tough.
Do you regret that toughness? Or?
No, it learned me how to work. I didn't get a chance to go to school like I should have. My dad left my mother. She was in bed for 16 years with rheumatism. Well, he went to work for Ed Lippel and got to run around. And so my mom and him got a divorce. Just me and my sister up there, she was about 12, and I was about 15. So we had a big flood in 1951, ruined the house. They come in, so about a foot of water come in the house, just ruined the floors. And so I had to call my brother to get my mother out of there. So my dad took my sister by court, and she didn't have no one to take care of her, so we had a woman up town to take care of her, but we had to come and get her in a stretcher in this flood. And so I lived with my brother for a week, and I seen that wasn't going to work, and I was 15 years old. So I asked my wife's mother what she'd take for a room overhead, and she said $5 a week. So the relief, the county commissioner made me pay $10 a month for my mother for help on her. And so I gave Mrs. Winters $5 a week. That left me $3 a week for 2 years. And I supported my mother while I was overseas. I had to pay $28 towards her keep. And when I got through, I had $6.40 a month for 2 years. Except when I went overseas, I made private first class. They gave me $10 a month more for overseas duty. Then when I hit the front lines, they gave me $10 more for action. So that's how I survived. It was tough. Yeah, I can remember all of them times.
Yeah, you have a very, very good memory.
Yeah.
So that flood must have been about 1940?
No.
No?
41. 41.
Oh, you were
41.
Oh, yeah, because you're saying you're 15. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah, that flood was in 1941. And it just ruined everything. They had 15 inches of rain up at Paul Heights. That didn't even use the creeks. It just came right across the field into town. When I went to, I was drilling wheat for George Esquinger. And the storm came up. And I put it on the drill and the hill, and I just barely made it out of there with the truck. And when we went back out, that drill was beat to pieces with hail. And you never seen such a road is all messed up. It was bad. But the last time I ever lived in that house, we had four hogs out in the barn, and Lewis Winchester helped me float them in the house, in the old bedroom, the only way we could put them. And we grabbed them by the tail and the ears, and we float them in the house, four of them. And so Bert Lewis bought them finally to get rid of them, but they had chewed the walls all up, something to eat.
That was one way to get rid of that house.
yeah, it was a poor old house. Yeah, I tell you, we couldn't do no better.
Do you remember, December, did you finish high school?
No, I didn't. That's why I'm telling you why I didn't finish high school, because I was out working, and I had
so
to...
So when did you quit? How old were you?
My sophomore year. After my sophomore year. That's why I didn't have a chance to go to school. I supported my mother. If I'd went to a lawyer, the county commissioners could not made me do what they made me do. But I don't regret that, taking care of my mother. I took care of her for 4 years before I got married. But it was hard. Try to live on $3 a week and then buy clothes out of it. If I worked on Sunday, he'd give me $21. No, I never will forget it, but I don't regret working hard. I worked hard all my life. But I can tell you about hard times.
Do you remember December 7th, 1941?
Yes, I was. I was in the Methodist Church because the schoolhouse burnt down. And we went to the Methodist Church and the Congregation Church back and forth. And they called an auditorium meeting and Roosevelt and listened to Roosevelt announce that we had been attacked and he declared war. We had three or four left right then and there to join service. Earl Lipple, one of them, but I can't remember the other three of them.
I'm trying to think how old you were. This would have been just, this is probably just before you quit school, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yes. You
would have been in the ninth grade.
Yep, yeah, yep.
At that time, your brothers were older, did they go?
My brother... Elmer was 5 years older than me. He lives in Great Bend. And Arthur was 6.5 years older than I was.
And did they have families?
They had families.
And they did go in the service.
They all went in the service. In fact, Arthur went in the same time I did. Only he trained at camp in Arkansas. I trained at camp in Texas.
So who was the first to go in of the three boys?
My brother, Elmer.
Elmer, when did he go in?
He was in the service probably a year and a half before we went in.
Did he enlist or was he drafted?
No, he was drafted. Mm-hmm. But they took him early. He was 3 years and 3 months. But my brother Arthur went in the same time I did. I don't know why, but he trained at Camp Robinson.
And both you and he were drafted also?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so everybody was drafted.
It was drafted.
And, why don't you tell us a little bit, before we talk about yours, tell us a little bit about your brother's service. Were they Army?
My brother was infantry also.
Which brother?
Arthur.
Arthur was infantry?
Yep.
And I
come home from service at the same time Arthur did. And I wanted to go back to Fort Meade, Maryland with him. So we went over to Geneseo and got a train out together. I left a day early so I could go with him. And we went to Kansas City and he had to leave out there with an airplane and I went with a train. So he went in as a whole company. I didn't. I went as an individual. So I asked the captain if join his company. He said, oh no, you can't do that. Because they went in with the captain. So I went back to my old train. And I beat him to Fort Meade, Maryland because they got weather logged and couldn't get down there. But when he hit there, I found out he was there and I went and seen him. I'm the last Dupree that's seen my brother when he shipped overseas. But we weren't but about 50 miles apart when he got killed.
So you were both fighting in Europe?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Fighting is not no fun. It's bad. I always remember my 19th birthday. First time we crossed the German lines, I fixed the bayonet on my 19th birthday. That's something, if you ever done it, you'll always remember it all your life. After I got through, I threw that bayonet away so I never have to do it again. But don't tell many people that. You don't have to fix bayonets on your 19th birthday. We used to fight all day. At night, you went out, two went out on guard duty at a time, 2 hours on, and then you were supposed to sleep while he guarded. That gives you 4 hours outside. But they're just fooling herself. You're getting sleep in them 4 hours. Then someone else would take over. It gets so that you can even hear a leaf blowing out there when you're watching. You're scared. I never will forget it.
And where are you at this time in Europe?
Well, I went in Belgium and fought in Belgium and went into Germany. Mm-hmm. But when we started fighting in Germany, you never seen any people. They kept moving back. We was up in Germany quite a ways before we were seeing people. But
we interviewed Robert Stack. Do you know him?
No, I know Robert Stack, yeah. I know Robert Stack. But
I'm wondering, because he was in the battle. Are we talking Battle of the
Bulge?
We
was in Battle of the Bulge. I went through that. And we paddled across the Rhine in rubber boots. And we attacked them by hand. We got up to Leipzig, Germany. We fought there in the Ruhr, before that, the Ruhr Valley. And we went around the German army. And we made a ring around them, and they had to surrender because they couldn't get out. And at that time, all you seen was these synthetic gasoline plants everywhere. And they make gasoline out of weeds and everything else. But war is hell, I'll tell you. I had three rifles while I was over there. One rifle I laid the side of it when they was bombing us and shelling us, and I laid it down the side of my leg. When I picked that rifle up, it was all blowed to pieces. It was just that protected my leg. I didn't even know it. And so I had to get another rifle. And then I had one of them shot her in the barrel, bent the barrel.
It's
either my gun or me. It hit my gun. But they tried to kill me over there.
Yeah.
but in ACAC, I got a book at home I ought to let you read. But we was the first outfit to have a colored platoon. Mm-hmm. In it. We attacked the ACAC guns. You know what ACAC is?
No.
ACAC's what they shoot airplane down with. But when they point it at you, it's just a cloud of black smoke. And when they explode you, a million piece of metal comes out. And you ever hear that whining? Well, we attacked it before we hit the Rhine. And a boy from Nebraska got blown up with one of these ACAC guns I went overseas with. But I had to make a run to contact another company, and they threw that ACAC guns at me. I was so scared, I dropped down, I took my shovel and just kept digging down. So finally, another guy come over through and said, "Are you hurt?" I said, "No, but shell shocked." But we went over to the railroad track, and I thought I could run, but I had an old sergeant, 15 years older than me. He outrun me up there through that ACAC. You could hear them shooting at the point blank. But that night, the colored troops fought. They couldn't see them. And they went hand to hand with them and got attacked these troops and these ACAC guns. That's before we hit Leipzig, Germany. But I was at Frankfurt. Then I got yellow jaundice up in the front lines and went back the rear for a week, and where Hitler started, I got to see that town. And then they sent me back to front.
Well, the jaundice is caused by bad nutrition?
No, water.
Water.
Back in Germany, you have a farmhouse. They go right out from the kitchen into where the milk cows is. Mm-hmm. And milk the cow and bring it in. Well, on farther around would be the feed house, and then out here 30 feet from the house would be the manure pile. And that manure pile big as a haystack. And then they carry it out in the spring. Well, they had the water right there. Well, we drank water out of that. And that's where we got the yellow jaundice. They were filthy, but that's the way they did. And overseas, I seen oxen hooked up plowing. Two cows, You never seen such a mess in your life. They would come right up to the edge of the road. And that's how they farm, right up to the edge of the road. But over there in the Audubon's, when we went through Frankfurt, they had these Audubon's, and then back in the hills, they dug big tunnels. The planes would land this Audubon and get in the tunnels. You couldn't get them. That's how they did it. Then I seen when I was overseas, flamethrowers. If you ever went through that once, it shoots a flame out there about a half a block and burn you to death. I seen that. I tell you, we attacked it with three divisions before we hit the Rhine. You never seen so many troops and armored in your life. But they shot AK-AK at us. They shot German 88s at us. I don't tell many people all this.
Well, it's going to be on tape, so
okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay.
But war don't declare nothing. You know, you fight and you fight. What have you gained? You lose a lot of people. Gain a lot of experience. My thoughts towards the Army, every boy that's 18 when he gets out of school should serve 1 year. But with the restrictions, he not to go to war. But everyone should serve 1 year and then come home. No 4Fs, no nothing. 4Fs can get another job, but everyone should learn how to mine and do what they're told. And that's a thought I've had all my life. It would stop all this silliness of boys don't know how to work. But when the war was over, we stayed up in Czechoslovakia, and we was the first unit selected to come back as a unit. That's why I didn't stay overseas very long, because they sent us back for 2 weeks, and we were supposed to hit Japan and train amphibious. And when I was here on my furlough, the war, the bells rang. Was you here when the bells rang?
Tell us what it was like.
Oh, mercy, I'll tell you, the shouting and hooping, you never seen nothing like it in your life. The bells, the church bells rang, the far west was rang, the war was over. I didn't have to go to Japan. That was the best time of my life.
What was it like?
That's
downtown?
When they, oh, it
did,
was,
did everybody
it,
come
it,
out?
It was exciting, yeah. It was exciting.
And you were on furlough at that time.
I was on furlough, yeah.
So did you have to go back to be mustered out somewhere?
I went back to Camp Swift, Texas, and then Fort Lewis, Washington. That's where I got that's where they kept me till they did got to get rid of me.
Okay, let's go back a little bit. Your brother, Arthur, was killed.
Yes.
And you said he was about 50 miles?
He was about 50 miles.
When did you learn of that?
Oh, about 2 weeks after he got killed.
And let's see, we didn't have that on tape. Do you want to describe,
my brother?
He was killed?
Yeah. He was, they had a mortar, and the German troops was coming up there. They was going to fire at him, and they backed off. And so this guy forgot to put his pin back in his mortar. And he had a mortar bag that carried lots of mortars. And all the guys got in, and this guy got in last. And he just threw his mortar bag into the back end of the Jeep. And it went off. Blew my brother's arm and leg off. And they say they was in wartime. I don't know what they call it. Germans didn't shoot him, but America did.
Is he buried in Europe? Or
no. He was buried in Europe, but they brought him home while I was still overseas. He buried here. He buried in the cemetery. He was a good guy. He was a drayman here for years and years. You know what a drayman was?
No, you're going to have to tell me that.
Well, Santa Fe used to bring all the freight into this town. Mm-hmm. And they had a freight office down here and called it a drayman. And he just went all over town with that freight and delivered freight to everyone. And he had that all for years, 6 or 8 years before he went service.
And you said he was married at the time.
Yeah.
And did he have family? Did he have children?
He had a girl. Yeah, had a girl.
Now your other
Arthur went in with me.
Yeah, oh,
Elmer went in ahead of me.
Okay, and where did he serve?
In Hawaii and Philippines and all over there.
Was he in Navy then, or Army?
No, he was Army. But he was maintenance. He wasn't. He wasn't infantry. Mm-hmm. All I knew when I went in was infantry. You didn't get much training then. You got 17 weeks training in the Army. They train you on mortars and machine guns and rifles and all that. And how to run fast and 20-mile hikes. And that. We got 17 weeks of training and came home. Over we went.
Over you went.
Yeah.
Well, his maintenance was for?
All Army trucks. Yeah, he was with Leonard Kraft, Leonard Carlson. They stayed together all that time, 3 years and 3 months.
So you during the war, you never got to come home?
No.
And did
I was home when I come from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
I got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's when the war was
over.
I knew what we were going to do.
So you were away from home how long then in Europe?
In Europe, that's why I was telling you why we was over there fighting for 6 months. Then they decided the 2nd Division would be the first one to train for amphibious hit in Japan. And we got to come home as a unit. And then after the war was over, the guys had to stay over there for 2 more years. But we just lucked out. And we went over and came back. But I went over on the Louis Pasteur ship. It took us 8 days to zigzag back and forth to Europe because the sub is out there. But General Richardson's what we came home on.
And did you have any time off when you were in Europe?
No. All this guys saying they went back to rest area. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what they're talking about. We walked and we fought. We fought 20 mile hand to hand, going all over 20 mile, and Patton, once we got through where we were going, Patton came through us with all of his tanks. We were glad to see him. Then he pushed about 100 miles.
So you were ahead of the tanks. And then
we were ahead of the tanks, and when we broke through, here he come. And he went on.
Would that make us a little better after the tanks?
Yeah, you damn right he does. We were glad to see him. We waved every one of them. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Now, and all during this time, you're basically just sleeping out?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you slept out or anywhere you can find. But if it rained, then we had ponchos covered from your neck down. You put your rifle underneath so it didn't get wet. But it didn't make no difference. You up there with that foxhole wet, and you stayed out there.
You were in the wintertime, too, wasn't it?
Oh, I was there in the winter. It's so cold, you can't stand it. Yes, I'll tell you. The biggest thing I ever remember about the winter time, we had them old ODs on, 2 pairs of ODs. Well, there's wool pants.
Okay.
And then you had the army coat on, and then the ponchos. You wouldn't get a bath for about 2 weeks. And they pulled us up reserve on the front lines, and they brought up a truck. They sucked water out and heated it, and you could go in for 2 or 3 minutes to take a bath. You dump all your clothes in this big old pile, and then go take a bath. They bring an army truck up and just dump a load of army clothes. And when you got out of there, it was cold. You run and try to find what fit you. But I never will forget it. The hairs on my legs were white from all that sweat and stuff. It would shock you to even touch it. Mm-hmm. It was hard to get that off. I never will forget that. It's just like a dent on your leg.
And your food were the K rations, or?
They brought K rations up to us all the time. Yeah. If we was stopped overnight somewhere, the kitchen would try to bring you some warm food. But if you went up there with your mess kits and got it, made any noise, They more than you. You can't make no noise. We even got a flu shot on the front lines. they must have hit a muscle because I couldn't even move this left arm for 3 days. I ain't had a shot since the World War II on account of it. I ain't took a flu shot since. I had enough of that.
No, I'll tell you. I tell you, Morgan. I felt so sorry for them. We had a captain named Goldstein. He was a Jew. When he knew if he got captured, he's going to get murdered. He's going to get killed. So he was honored to any prisoners. Yeah, he made major-wise there. We attacked it one time. I was coming through there. It said, "Soldier, you guard these prisoners." And they just kept bringing prisoners to me. I had about 20 or 30 of them. I guarded them all night long. And they thought I got killed. But he had authority over me. So I had to watch them all night long. They took me back to see my unit and machine gun. We got raked machine guns across the field. That before we hit Leipzig.
What were the German prisoners like that you were guarding?
There are a lot of real old ones and a lot of real young ones. But if they had an SS man with them, they would kill them if they didn't do what they tell them. SS. I've hit some of them SS. They're mean. Oh, you got to watch them. They'll kill you. They're mean. But when we hit Leipzig, we went out the outskirts of Leipzig, and there was a square building there, and it was dug clear around. So we chased Germans up the hill, and we got into their outpost. Well, they had us zeroed in. And that's where I lost this rifle that got shot out from under me with the barrel, or not the barrel, but the stock. We got in this deal. A whole squad of men, when we left, there wasn't enough to carry the wounded away. There's two of us left out of the squad. When we went overseas, Camp Fannin, Texas, they would pick 10 men to go to Europe, then 10 men to go to the Pacific. Then that's the way they did back. So you went, when you went home, you didn't know anyone that you trained with, making friendship. Mm-hmm. So I was almost the very last one. I didn't want to go to the Pacific. I went to Europe. But that's how I did it. And then when you went the same way, when you loaded the ship, you went and sailed and went to the front line and repo depot is what they called it, replacement depot. Well, if they sent down the 2nd Division, once so many men went to 2nd Division. Then the 2nd Division would divide up so many regiments, 3 regiments. You get broke up again to go to regiment. Then you get broke up in the companies. So you didn't know anyone. So I didn't have many friends.
Did you make friends with the guys then?
Make friends, but didn't keep them.
You didn't keep them.
No, I lost.
You lost.
I lost a lot of my friends. Two or three real good friends, but you got hurt too much. Back, I had one sergeant, got a piece of shrapnel in here to go, had to go clear to England and get it out.
So he's pointing to his chin. Yeah.
Right in his chin. They sent us up on outpost duty to go out on guard duty and try to get some German troops before we hit the Rhine. And about 8 of us went out. Our sergeant, lieutenant, got murdered, got killed with a machine gun. We never did get out no farther. We had to go back. Couldn't make it. I never forget that. And then you hit so many new people come in all the time. No, I don't.
I'm trying to think. You had your 19th birthday you described. So you're 19,
yep.
20 years old.
Yep. When I come out, I was 20. Yep. But it's an experience I don't want none of my family to see what I see. Keith did. Keith seen 2 tours of Vietnam. He's seen a lot of them.
And you were in Europe after the war was over in Europe. You were still there.
No. Yes. Part of the war.
Yeah, not Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, the European.
Half the war was over.
Yeah.
Yes, when I was in Europe. But they shipped me here. That's when the bells and all the stuff.
So, and that's when you, so you were in, where were you when the, after VE Day, after the victory in Europe? Where were you about that time?
In Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia. What was there a celebration when you learned?
No, they met with the Russian troops and had a big old drink affair. And, you know, we went right up to Russian troops.
Were you able to see any of the concentration camp or any
no,
of that?
No, no, not where we were. No. I tell you what we did see, though. All the German farmers, they would have foreigners, Lithuanians, Estonians, and whoever they captured, they had to work on these farms. And man and woman or both, every farm. But when we was pushing up in Germany, statutes for religions along the roads, every 4 or 5 miles. I seen people dropping down as we pushed forward. That released them off of these farms, and they was coming back by the thousands. I always remember that, and people dropped down on their knees and prayed. And I seen one woman had a grease all over, a little girl about 14 years old, and a bag hanging down that stunk, you know. And so asked her why she had that. And she said, if we didn't have that on there, the German troops would rape her. And I seen kids come down with wheelbarrows. I seen kids coming down with great big sacks all they had on the back. Thousands and thousands.
They were trying to return
to these depots that they lived in until they could get back home. That's the way they did it at the end of the war. As we fought forward, they was coming out of there. And I never will forget it. I don't know, none of my kids ever seen what I seen.
Now, you said yours was the first unit that had a black division.
Yes, I got a book at home. I ought to bring it down, let you read it. Then I want it back, but I should let you read it. We were the first, but...
Did you have any association with those black troops, or...
Not with our company, but it was the company right side of us did. Mm-hmm. I knew they were there. They were good fighters. Good fighters. But that's when they first tried out colored in the infantry. No, we captured 4,000 or 5,000 troops there in one campaign. I did have a slip showing how many trucks and infantry. And then too, there at the end of the war, I seen hundreds and hundreds of airplanes in the air going to strike Germany. I seen them twice. Boy, I was glad to see them. Because everything they bombed, we didn't have to go in. Marburg, Germany was, I come through Marburg, and it was nothing but just a mess of twisted rails. No houses. They just bombed it clear to pieces. Like La Havre. When we come off the ship at La Havre, there are German troops there cleaning brick. But you can still smell that. All the building was bombed out. And they was saving every brick they could get.
I don't know if we said that on the tape. That may have been before. When you went over, you landed in England, weren't you?
Yes, and went from... we went Liverpool, Southampton, and up to London, and then Southampton, then boarded the ship, and went over to La Havre. And then we went in at Belgium and started fighting. But in Belgium, it's funny, the Belgian women, when they cleaned porches, they had a mess of twigs they tied together, little tiny twigs. Made a broom. That's how they clean. But if they seen a horse manure on the pavement, they all run to get it. That's what they used for fertilizer. They went crazy over it. They swept every bit of it up. They wanted for the plants of the garden. They're big gardeners over there. Germany is a pretty country. It's real pretty. Belgium, not so pretty. Czechoslovakia is a pretty country. But I can tell you more, but I don't like to.
Okay. Well, you've told us an awful lot. Let's see, you talked about that. When you came back, what did you start to do?
Couldn't find a job anywhere. So the government had a program. If you went to work for anyone, they would, out on the farm, they would pay half. So I went to work for Leo Kraft. I made $75 a month. The Army gave me $75 a month. Then after 6 months, he's supposed to increase me, and the Army decreased me. Well, he didn't understand that way, so he wasn't going to increase me, so I come to town. And I was about a month looking for work. The man promised me a job, and then backed out on me after I quit. And so Lonnie Winters helped me get on the county, and I worked on the county for 10 years. And then I quit the county, went to work for Burl Stevens for 2 years on the milk route. You remember Burl?
I don't. I'm not.
Yeah, she does. Burl Stevens had the milk route. Had
the
ice cream joint out here by me. He built that. Burl. Well, anyway, I worked for him 2 years. Then I went to work for Rusty Strait. Worked with Rusty Strait 2 years. On construction. So Ralph Baird and Rex bought John Mix's sand pit out. So they knew I could pump sand. So I took that sand pit over, and they made me manager. And they gave me so much money to run it, and I run it for 9 years. Then Harry Kearns was commissioner, and he come out and asked me if I would come back to the county as a foreman. I said, oh, I like it here. So he left, and he come back one day at noon at my house. He says, what would it take to get you? I says, well, Harry, you wouldn't want to pay me. I said, I'll take $640 of my Blue Cross and Blue Shield. He said, I'll let you know. That afternoon, he come and got me. Took me to commissioner's room, and Ellery Welch was still there, and Jack Miller, and him. And he handed this to Ellery Welch. Says, this is what it takes to get Kenny. Handed to Jack Miller, and he said, you're hard. So I took over the county, and I run it for 22 years after that.
Now, when you came back, how did your war experience affect your life and reintegrating into this?
It didn't bother me. No, I just went right on. Forgot about it. It didn't affect me. Close call, I lost my brother. I hated that. But the experience don't hurt me. I don't want no one else to have to go through it. But you talk about experience. I've been 4 years city commissioner and 32 years in the county. Then I've been county commissioner 10 years. I will be this year. Then I got 2 more years after this year to serve. So that's quite a few years.
A lot of public service there.
Yeah. Well, 32 and 10 and 4.
Okay.
46, be 46 years.
I'm trying to think. And we haven't talked about your wife here. Did you know her before you went?
Well, yes. I went with my wife 2.5 years before I married her.
And so you corresponded during the war? Or?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about every day I could.
Uh-huh. And what was mail service like while you were in Europe?
Mail service pretty good. We could ride home for nothing. But the thing of it is, if you had time, if you wasn't fighting to write. But I get mail over there.
Got the mail regularly? Did it come in bundles? Or?
Come in bundles, and they distributed it to you in the front lines. I got my mail regularly. No, that didn't make it so bad.
Yeah. And what day did you get? Or what date did you get home? I'm trying to see you. You got married in October. Have you been? October 4th is when you got married. But when did you come back from the?
46, 4th and 30th. I went over to 8th, 7th, and 44, and 4th and 30th and 46.
So April 30th.
Yep.
Yeah. And
that picture's on my time of service.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
Okay.
I told Mildred that this morning.
And what was Mildred doing while you were gone?
She worked in Duck Walls, and she worked in three different grocery stores, Harold Hearns, and Mammals, and Bob White Mammals. 9 years each one of them. And then she worked 2 years down here at the little hamburger deal. It was right across from where Standard, right across the corner. There was a hamburger place there. You remember that? No. I think it might have had split up there at one time, yes. You remember there's a house there by the bridge, right there in the corner. Fat Lancaster.
You're up on the highway. Right?
Yes, where the Forest Film Station was.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I remember that little place.
Well, she worked in there 2 years.
Okay.
And she worked all her life, but minimum wage didn't do no good.
So you came back in April and decided to get married.
I'm married before I come back. Come home on a 3-day pass.
And
okay, got married.
Well, tell us about this then. You came home and.
I came home on a 3-day pass. The Army said if you serve the lieutenant stuff for breakfast sometime, we'll give you a 3-day pass. So I served them. I voluntarily served them and their wives on a weekend.
And where were you at this time?
Camp Swift, Texas.
Which is about how far away?
Oh, mercy. 300 miles. Okay. But I come home with a guy from Dodge City, and we caught a truck driver driving, and he drove relief for this truck driver clear of Dodge, and I caught a ride from Dodge to Kendall. And
did you surprise her?
She knew I was coming. Okay. But we got married, counting 5 days there, with 2 days weekend and a 3-day pass, and I had to go back.
So where did you that was before the tape, wasn't it? Where did you get married?
Judge Anderson's office.
I think you told us that before.
Yep.
We had the tape.
Yep.
On.
Yep. Judge Anderson's.
And did you have any honeymoon?
No, we didn't have time.
So where did you spend your wedding night?
At her mother's. That's where I boarded a room ever since I was 15. I was counting that as home more than home was. You're always home. Mrs. Winters is a nice lady. Always respected her. But, like, I rented from her, but when I come home, I went to her house just like that was home. Been home ever since, but she passed away. She's the nicest lady. You remember her. Nice lady. No. Had a hard old life. Paid all my bills. Don't believe in debt. Everything I got paid for. No one's ever knocked on my door for money. I don't believe in that. I always pay my bills.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. Need anything else?
Well, yeah, I've got a couple more questions here to sort of wind down now. How did the community respond to your family with your brother's death?
They hated it. My brother was well liked here. Mm-hmm. All the businessmen, they was at his church and funeral, but they hated it when he got killed. But I wasn't here when they had the funeral. Mm-hmm. My brother was. Elmer was here. Because he got discharged, he had enough points, but I was still overseas.
Thought you had been racking up a lot of points too.
Yeah.
What you were doing. Well, we have a question here that this is sort of off the topic, but we're just sort of interested in it. We were trying to discover how. At this time around, you know, the Depression and World War II, the relationship of the minorities in town, blacks and Hispanics, and
We were hated on the north side of the track. We were called.
You're not gonna put that on the tape.
No,
it wasn't nice.
No, but now we've got better homes on the north side. The farmers and the north siders went to the north side schoolhouse, and then we had a south side side. But we were all poor, I tell you.
And so, and the Hispanics were on your side of town.
They all lived out here in the Y. All but the foreman. The foreman had a big old house out here by the Y. You know what I'm talking about by the Y? All right, they had a great big concrete house, and they all 8 or 10 families lived in them houses. That's where they lived.
Do you know what those houses were like? Were you ever in them?
Oh, sure I was. They're good houses. That's where they stayed, though. They ain't like it was now. They couldn't move out into the town. But I went to school with a lot of them, Amaros and Chicons. They were good people. I still respect them. You remember, I don't know if you remember Lucy Amaro, Chicons.
I remember Amaros and Chicons. But
yeah,
I
Ray Samaro's sister, oldest sister.
I don't remember her, but I know the name.
Yeah, yeah. Pete Amaro was a nice fellow. He worked railroad. That's about all they did was railroad. Mm-hmm. But now they work everywhere. But I had no trouble with them. I went to school with them. Went to school with colored people. I grew up with colored people. Mm-hmm. But we weren't very liked on the north side of the track when I went to service. And they had different names for us over there. We was poor white trash.
The Negroes lived on the north side.
Yeah. This town never was equal. There was a name for us on the north side for a long time. But that's not so now. Mm-hmm. We've got the hospital over there and the fire station and the rest of them. Things have changed. Don't think nothing about it now. But did back in then, I guess we were. They weren't no poorer than we were. I think they were a little uppity.
Well, I know the theater was segregated.
Yes, the colored used to have to go upstairs.
And the swimming pool.
And swimming pool, yeah. They couldn't go in the swimming pool. The old swimming pool, I don't remember them even being allowed in the swimming pool when they were down here.
That's what we were told, they could not.
But no, I don't think so. They had an old wooden shack along there, and I used to swim down there.
Yeah, you know, in the research I've done, all of those black fellas, they went in the service.
Yes.
And served. Did the war change anything when they came back, or did it take the civil rights movement later?
No, civil rights movement, it took that. They still weren't respected. I talked to a colored man overseas, and he was from the South. And I stopped and talked to him. He thanked me for talking to me. I said, why are you thanking me for? He said, you're the first white man that ever had time to talk to me. Thank me for talking to him. No, I'll tell you. These old, well, they loaded us up in the called 40 and 8. That's how we went up the front line. They got around a deal about that big around, and that's what hooked them together. We called them 40 and 8. So they weren't very big. And the time they all slapped together, you knew it. It shook you up pretty good. First time we was up seas, we went in the forest. I never will forget it. They put us up in the hayloft, and I thought it was our troops shooting at them all night long, but it was them shooting at us. First day in service, or next morning, stepping over, guys covered up, got killed, and jeeps all turned upside down, and tanks shot up. That's what I seen when I first went there. It's scary. The trees, so many 88s hitting the trees that the forest just all bent down from hitting the trees, hitting them. Stunk bad. Just bad.
think the war has affected your life now that you're older and looking back? What effects did it have?
You don't have an effect on me.
Well, did the service, and they didn't think back then.
The service brought me out from 28 waist to 30. I didn't weigh very much. That picture you see in there, that was me. I weighed about 130 pounds. It didn't affect me, none.
Did it affect how you conducted yourself after
yes,
the war?
That training is good for, that's why I say all 18 should go in for 1 year. Be mandatory, but not where they can send them to war. I think Switzerland does that. And that's a good thing. It teaches you how to take orders, how to get up, how to clean yourself and clean your barracks. And it teaches you a lot of things. You don't have to go through training for 17 weeks like I did. Train for a year. And then come home, you'll be a better person. You'd see this world change. And until they do that, we're going to be in a mess. Because you can't horror right now. 2 out of 10 will be good workers. The other 8 want to lay down and do nothing and just get money coming in for nothing.
Sometimes in your generation, maybe it runs together that the Depression definitely affected how you conducted yourself as your debt and things like that.
Yep.
And the war, the hardship of war maybe added to that.
Yep. It did. We made $50 a month. Now they probably make $2,000.
Do you think some of your desire to be a civil servant, to serve as a commissioner and that sort of thing, was that affected?
No, I tell you, I worked under a lot of good county commissioners, and I'm signed up for a Republican, but a Republican run the people didn't want. And so the Democrats come to me and ask me, would I run? Oh, I don't want to run. So they said, well, we'll see that you get on the board if you run. I said, all right. So they got 58 Democrats to sign up for me on the election. And that's how I run. I run, I don't know whether I'm Democrat or Republican as far as voting, because they voted for me. The Democrats and the Republican voted for me when I first run. So I run ever since. But being a commissioner, I don't mind it, because I went through a lot of commissioners, and we've had a lot of good ones, and we had some of them wasn't too good, but I learned from them, and it's easy. It don't bother me. This would be my last term. But,
okay, how about the county? Kinsley, how did the war affect the town? What were the changes, good or bad?
Well, we went from 2,800 population down to what we are now. They moved away.
Why did they move away?
There were no jobs. No jobs here when the men come back. They left, just like they are now. If we don't get some jobs here, they're going to leave to find them. No, we used to be 2,800 population. When I grew up, we had about 14 or 15 service stations. You'd go down and get a job at a service station. We had about 5 car dealerships here in town. And then when I grew up to earn money, if I didn't make enough on the county, I only made about $160 a month when I first started the county, we went out and shock feed on a weekend. We had a regular shocking crew. You go out shock feed or bail. But now you can't do that. They got round bales. They don't shock feed no more, so the kids ain't got nothing to do. And the mechanic moved away, your dealerships, and we lost everything. There's nothing for the people to do. It looks to me like the times have changed as Kinsley, where you're going to have to go to school and find yourself a trade. You're going to either be a school teacher, or you're going to be a barber, or you're going to be something that you train for that you can make a living at. That's the only way I see you're going to do it now. And I might be wrong, but that's the way I see it.
Now, were you involved with the startup of the VFW?
Yes. Yeah.
That started right after the war, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yep. I didn't tell you about the VFW. I took care of that memorial out there. Me and Me and my boy did most of it, but Rusty Strait donated all that concrete, but one little phase of it. His brother, right where that memorial set coming out, he paid for that cement underneath there. Rusty Strait paid for all the rest of it, donated for the honor of his dad for service. And he even come out there and helped us work. You know, I took care of that memorial 10 years. I'll resign from it, but can't get enough volunteers. I'm not going to let it go. Me and my boy will go out there and plant flowers and probably water. That's quite an honor to be out there, the servicemen. Now, what we did, we didn't say that you had to be a combat engineer overseas. What we said is if you wore a uniform, we honored you. We don't care whether you're National Guard or whatever you are, we honored you. Even Marty Strait was a nurse in the Army, took Army training, so we honored anyone that did that. There's 8 or 10 nurses out there that took Army training. Anywhere that had a uniform on, we honored them. Outside, we'd get by at that. Inside, you can't. You have to be in combat overseas. Inside, you do.
What role did the VFW play with the guys? Was it a gathering place? Was it
Yes. Yeah, we met. At one time, there'd be over 100 people meet, but they've lost the respect. It don't mean what it used to mean. We lost the older ones, and we're still losing them. We lost two of them. Buck Belcher used to be an active man out there. We lost a lot of them.
So the younger, the Vietnam or the Desert Storm, or
the desert from the Desert Storm on, they don't seem like they're interested to join anything. I don't know why. They had an awful time in the Desert Storm. All these boys fighting now have got an awful bad time, but I don't know. They don't take an interest in the VFW. I don't know why. And all of us old ones, they're going to last much longer.
Why was the VFW important to you? Why did you take it?
Because that honored me for being overseas, my overseas duty. In fact, I never did join the Legion. The Legion is for you inside the continental United States. But VFW means that you left the continental United States using war zone. And so that I chose the VFW because that's what I was. And I've been active 60 years in it.
Well, Mr. Rosetta, do you have anything local history other than...
We wear your tape out.
You talked about Burl Stevens' milk route.
Yes.
And they built that little Dine Quick.
Yes.
And that was Burl Stevens
mm-hmm.
that did that?
Yes.
Okay, was she in you? There used to be a Stevens Dairy.
Yes.
And that's who that was.
Out south of town. Yeah.
Okay.
Out there from Jack Miller's a mile east.
Okay. See, Shirley Stevens was my age, but I didn't know her mother's
yep.
name.
Yep.
Or father's name.
Yep.
Okay.
Gladys was her mother.
Your mother-in-law have kind of a care home in her house? Didn't she care for older people?
Yes, yes.
All right.
Yeah, Mrs. Winter did.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
She had Mrs. Wade and Mrs. my mother at one time, both of them at the same time.
All right. This has been an ongoing discussion that we haven't got settled yet. You know where Lafferty's used to have their cleaning?
Apprenticeship. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What was next to Lafferty's?
To the north?
Yes.
There was an old, well, the bivouac was there. The old bivouac. Then Turner's building was right south of that.
Okay.
Turner. The old Turner. I tore it down. When I work for Strait.
Okay. There was Lafferty's.
Mm-hmm.
Going north.
Yep. Then Turner.
Then Turner.
Then
north.
Turner to the north. Turner from Lafferty's north.
I thought, where was the bivouac?
North of Turner.
Okay.
remember Charlie Hessem? Charlie Hessem? Back of this old Turner building, there, he was building a skating rink, but he never did get it finished, and I tore it all down.
Okay. So there was Lapidus Turner's, the Bivouac, mm-hmm. and then there was the...
Well, that John Deere Implement Company was on to that corner.
That kind of at that end.
That old tin building, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's as far as you can go there.
Okay. Thank you.
You can remember that John Deere deal sit there?
Yeah, but I can't remember Turner's, and I can't remember the old Bivouac.
Well, the old Bivouac was a white building set right north of Turner's. Now, I got pictures that I could show you.
You have pictures?
I got pictures of the old skating rink that Charlie Hessem was building back at that Turner building.
Any other pictures of downtown?
Not any other
businesses or any.
Not no more than you've got. Them ones that hangs out the VFW.
Mm-hmm.
Them is the oldest I can get.
Okay.
You've got pictures of all of them.
Yeah, I think so. But we don't have much on Collin. We don't have very many pictures on Collin Avenue. Like, we don't have a picture of the old Bivouac. Well, kind of maybe, just barely. And okay, on the other side.
See, when I tore down that old Bivouac, they built the one across the street.
Okay.
Where's that now?
Okay.
The bank bought that beer joint, which was the Bivouac, and the Turner Building when they put the bank in there. So then they had to go across the street and build that beer joint. That's why that's built over there.
Okay. Now, I remember Ross Motors, you know, on the other side of the college.
Yes.
Ross Motors.
Wimberly Building was...
I don't know Wimberly.
North of Homer Ross's building. That's the first one in the alley, Wimberly. They used to sell apples and oranges and potatoes and stuff. That's what Wimberly's did there.
So they had a grocery store?
No, they just had
produce.
A place that produced there.
Yep.
And that was right there from the alley to the south. And then you started into the Homer Ross building.
And then what was next? Had two buildings, didn't he?
Yeah, he had two buildings, but he sold, his mechanics was in the back, but he sold cars in the other two.
Okay.
The old Plymouth.
Okay, and then?
Then you had the Bivouac.
But before the Bivouac, what was there?
I don't remember nothing there. All I remember was the old two-story building that was set there.
The floor opera house is what
mm-hmm.
we called it.
Yeah.
So, but was there a gap there then?
There was a kind of a gap there.
Okay. All right. Opera House, and then across the street going south, there used to be
a big old mechanic shop, Chevrolet mechanic shop.
Chevrolet mechanic
shop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they sold cars there.
That was
Lloyd Britton run it for years.
Okay.
Great big one.
That was behind Flora's Opera House going east, right?
That was to the south of the Opera House.
That was what we call the Wyrick Building?
Yes. The old Warwick building.
That was Britton's?
Yes. Yep. Britton had a mechanic shop in there.
Oh, okay. And then, still going south, there used to be a hatchery. There may be a hatchery of some kind.
In that same block?
Yeah.
The Harris's had a...
No, we're in the wrong block.
The Harris's had one on the highway. But before they started the highway, they were somewhere, but I can't tell you exactly where they was at.
Okay, we have...
There was two or three buildings back of that old opera house to going to east, up to the Chevrolet garage.
Okay,
can I just stop this for a minute?
Yeah, we're just talking. Okay, you know where the
Oak Ag building.
What I was wondering is if you drew him a picture and let him write down, you know, put the street down.
Oh, well, we could do that.